In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Lent is all about engaging in battle. Last week, we heard about how Jesus engaged with Satan in a battle. And of course, Jesus came away victorious. And this week, the Canaanite woman engages in a sort of wrestling match with Jesus. Now, this isn't to say that Jesus was against her or she was against Jesus, but rather she requested something from Jesus, as the text says. But then Jesus did not answer her back a word. Thus, the match commences between her and God. It's the same sort of wrestling that Jacob has with God in the Old Testament reading. It's the same sort of wrestling that we have with God in prayer. Why does it seem that God is sometimes silent to our prayers? We know God's promises. And we believe that we're praying these petitions according to God's will. But things just don't seem to be happening. This is why I think that this Lenten text is perhaps one of the hardest for some Christians to hear, because it's the most real for them, and they experience it daily. Now, our experiences probably aren't that much different from the Canaanite woman. She lived in the region of Tyre and Sidon. Her daily life was plagued with pagan influences. And yes, she knew a little bit about the Bible. She knew that there was a Messiah who was going to come for the Jewish people. She even knew that this Messiah was going to be a blessing even to her, a Gentile. You might say that she knew some of these more foundational things. But it wasn't her knowledge that made her faith particularly great. It was her trust. And as Jesus recognizes, her trust in God was persistent, which got her through her trial. She had a child who was demon-possessed. She trusted that Jesus was the Messiah from Israel who has come to be a blessing to her. And she clung to that promise of God and went to Jesus with this request. Her request was, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Now, likewise, we too make requests to God. It's called prayer. And our prayers to God probably aren't that far off from what the Canaanite woman asked of Jesus. Because you might also be praying for your children too. Like, "Lord, help my son or my daughter to trust in you. Work your spirit into them to lead them back to church. Give them saving faith. Or save them from the demonic influences that are thrusted upon them from an unbelieving world." You might pray, "Lord Jesus, you are the great physician. Please heal my son or my daughter of their cancer. Or heal my mom or dad of their Alzheimer's. Or at the very least, give them relief from their sufferings." Or something a little less local and more global. "Lord, dispel the evils of this world and bring down evil people and evil governments wherever they should arise, especially with the Russian and Ukrainian war." But based on your experiences, how does God answer your prayers? It seems so often that we pray for others and we hear crickets from God. And we start to wonder, where is God? Has he even heard me? And the temptation that we struggle with then is distrust. A distrust that God hears and works to answer our prayers. And as a result, we seek solutions elsewhere. Because we believe that God has abandoned us to our sufferings. Left us to suffer with our loved ones who are far from him. Left us to suffer the illnesses of the world without any relief. Left us to bear alone the evil schemes of sinful man as long as I live. The silence we hear from God about our prayers is deafening. Because it seems as if he is far from us, while we're left to our suffering, our weakness, and our oppressions alone. But why? Why would God allow that? Well, that feeling of abandonment isn't foreign to your Savior. He bore patiently with his Father as one of you, a flesh and blood human. He is the high priest who has experienced this temptation and feelings of despair just as you do. He even cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Even the Son of God, begotten of the Virgin Mary, wrestled with unanswered prayer. Though his Father answered his prayer, it just led him through suffering, death, and his wrath, not away from it. Jesus prayed in the garden, "Take this cup of wrath from me." Basically, he asked to not die if he could avoid it. However, Jesus concluded, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus humbly submitted to and trusted his Father's direction, despite the temptation to be opposed to it. Jesus patiently bore his suffering while waiting for the Father to deliver on his promise. And that's just what the Canaanite woman does too. After she was ignored, finally Jesus said, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." So Jesus more or less says, "Sorry, I can't help you." Which only furthers her feelings of despair and abandonment by God, because she was a Gentile. But did this stop her? Did this stop her from trusting in God? No. She knelt before his feet and said, "Master, help me. Do whatever you need. Just help." And Jesus responded to her cry, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Basically, Jesus said it's not right to take the great blessings that's meant for Israel and give it to the Gentiles, the dogs. And the trust of the Canaanite woman comes swiftly with this counter. "But yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." What a beautiful confession. She held on to God's promise given to Abraham with such a fervent trust that God does in fact take care of the Gentiles, and the fulfillment of that we see actually in Christ, who then sees her faith as great and he helps her. But why? Why is her faith great? Because she wrestled with God and prevailed. She trusted in his promises despite her experiences tempting her to abandon trust in God. Despite Jesus' deafening silence there in the beginning, she held on to God's promise in faith. And God granted her request. Her daughter was healed of her demon possession. Now, here's the hardest part for us. God doesn't always grant requests as quickly as he did for her. But it also doesn't mean that God has abandoned his promises to you. For example, look at Moses. God promised him and his people the promised land in Canaan. But as they got near, God's people showed themselves to be ungrateful and ultimately faithless. And so they were punished. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Imagine waiting for God to fulfill his promise to you for 40 years. What do you think would happen? Would you pray for the same thing for 40 years? Or would you just give up and distrust God? Our lives are built on having answers quickly. If you want to know an answer to a question you have, you just Google it. If you're hungry, you can just swing through the Chick-fil-A before going home. If you want to talk to someone that you love, you can FaceTime or call them from across the globe. Thus, silence is particularly difficult for us to bear. But God purposes the silence for your good. Because the suffering that God's silence produces gives us endurance in our faith. It gives us perseverance and patience through whatever plagues us. And that perseverance then produces character. It changes us to be as Christ was. Because we have an everlasting hope that we know and trust will come upon our death despite whatever we might suffer now. In that way, God allows our faith to be exercised a little bit. He allows a little bit of wrestling. He permits us to suffer through smaller things, allowing our faith muscle to be built up so that when the tougher, larger things come around, God has equipped us to handle it. It's sort of like Paul, who repeatedly asked God to take away the thorn in his flesh that caused him suffering. But how did God use those little moments of suffering for Paul's benefit? It reminded Paul that God's grace was sufficient for him. So when we encounter silence from God in our prayers, may we likewise be reminded that God's grace is sufficient for us, and that God sometimes gives silence to our requests, that we may persevere in our asking, aligning our faith and trust with the promises of God, even if that road be particularly long or painful. And we pray for the patience to endure the pain of today, for the certain hope of life everlasting of tomorrow is coming. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.